Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung. Welcome to Prophecy Today. I'm here at Broadcast Central in Chattanooga. We leave right after the program is over, head over into South Carolina. We'll be in Mullins, South Carolina, at the Mullins First Baptist Church for a two-day prophecy conference, all day Sunday and then Monday evening as well. This is a key time in the history of our world to be looking at the current events that are unfolding across this world. They seem to be giving us indication that there is a prophetic scenario which is found in the Word of God that is coming better into focus each and every day. That's why I ask you for 90 minutes with my broadcast partners who are on location in many of these places where we'll be talking about. They give us the insight, the analysis of what is happening, and then at the end of the broadcast, I'll give you a prophetic perspective. Number one is Ken Timmerman. He's our broadcast partner that really covers the world. He's an international journalist and author and just a real good friend of us here on the program. Ken, let me get underway. Iran's Soleimani, who is the man who replaced Soleimani after he was taken out by the United States Special Ops, he is warning that the impotent Israel is now in range of an Iranian attack. In other words, all parts of Israel could be hit pretty quickly by Iran. What's the latest on this?
Well, Jimmy, this is, I think, the kind of standard bluster that we are used to hearing from Iranian Revolutionary Guards commanders. General Soleimani has been around for quite some time. He's been rattling his broken saber at Israel every other day and using it as a cane on the odd days. Look, I think what he is referring to, though, are two things important. One, he claims that Israel's soldiers are war-weary, that they've been fighting a frontline battle now for years and years, and I mean since 2006, the battle against Hezbollah in Lebanon, not since 1947, but specifically since 2006 against Iran, and that they are losing their capabilities and losing their enthusiasm, losing their morale. These things are simply not true. And the second thing I think he's referring to, which is potentially more significant, is the development by Iran of new classes of missiles, which they have recently demonstrated. They have both a new solid-fuel missile called the Sejil, which they have recently shown in public for the first time. We've been hearing about this for many years, but the first time footage of it has ever been shown in public. We don't know if it's a real missile yet. It hasn't been successfully test-launched. The second are a series of liquid-fuel missiles that are much bigger rocket motors than they've had in the past. These can reach all of Israel as well. Bottom line here, Jimmy, Iran is ginning up its troops, ginning up its allies across the region to fight a major battle on Israel. They're warning about it all the time. They're using it to recruit new Hezbollah troops in Lebanon and elsewhere. We just don't know what the jumping off date is.
Well, talk to me about Turkey, though. They're not rattling a sword necessarily, but they are threatening to go after Russia and the Russian-backed offensive of Bashar Assad there in the northeastern section of Syria. They're up near Idlib. And as the Syrian forces are moving towards the border with Turkey and being backed by Russia, Turkey's getting really upset about this, aren't they?
Well, and the Russians are getting very worried of these threats, of this very real threat from Erdogan to launch a very significant invasion into the Idlib area against Syrian troops. Reports that we're getting from Reuters and others suggest that there are 15,000 Turkish soldiers and special forces troops in northwest Syria today. That's a very large reinforcement. More convoys are pouring into the area from Turkey as we speak. And the Russians themselves have been warning about this. They're saying this would be a disaster. We don't want to see a confrontation between Turkey and the Syrian government. Why? Because, as you mentioned, Russia is supporting the Syrian government and its offensive. Here's where the two countries have a battle, if you wish, have a conflict, Jimmy. The Turks are actually supporting remnants of ISIS in Idlib and northwestern Syria. against the Syrian regime. So just as they did in 2014 when they supported the original ISIS, today Turkey is supporting a regenerated ISIS, a renamed or rebranded ISIS in northwestern Syria. The Syrian government is trying to kill them and trying to get them out of that region, and the Russians are helping them. So that is a very real conflict, and now we see the Turks reinforcing militarily to carry it out.
Speaking of Islamic State, I read an article this week. I want to see what your opinion is. It's titled, Back from the Dead, Islamic State is Bigger Than They Were Before They Took Over Iraq and Syria. How true is that, or is it just more propaganda?
You know, we see reports like this periodically, and I hate to be political about it, but we see many of these come brats on Capitol Hill who claim that President Trump has not destroyed ISIS as he claims he has. I'd like to know where these 20,000 ISIS troops that are mentioned in this one recent report in the UK, where are they hiding out? Where are their bases? What territory do they own? Where are they getting their money? How are they organized on the ground? Because there is not, as far as we know, and these are recent reports from the U.S. Department of Defense, there is no ISIS-controlled territory left in Iraq or Syria. They don't control territory. So if they've got 20,000 soldiers out there, I'd sure like to know where they're hanging out.
Yeah, we need to stay on top of that story. But then you're mentioning President Trump, and let me just follow up on his pledge during the candidacy for the presidency. He made the statement he wanted to get out of endless wars across the world, especially in the Middle East. And as we watch very carefully, we see Russia, China, and Iran moving in as the United States moves out. That's pretty much on target, is it not?
Well, that's true. And that is part of President Trump's strategy. He doesn't see the utility of constantly plowing U.S. treasure and the blood of our loved ones in the military into the Middle East in places that are not of strategic interest to the United States. Afghanistan. What is our strategic interest in Afghanistan? There's really only one thing we care about, is the ability of an al-Qaeda-type group or an ISIS-type group to have a massive base in Afghanistan where we cannot reach them, from which they could launch terror attacks on the United States. And the way the U.S. military has been reorganizing in recent years, and especially with the rebuilding of the military, thanks to President Trump and increased defense budgets, that's just not going to happen. We can reach them wherever they are. We can reach them with standoff forces. We can reach them with special operations forces. We do not need to have the extensive manpower presence on the ground that existed at the end of the Obama administration. We can withdraw those troops. So the Pentagon, Secretary Pompeo has talked this week about significant advances in the peace talks with the Taliban. I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if we will get to a peace treaty in Afghanistan, but there's certainly no strategic reason to the defense of the United States to have a large presence there. But, Jimmy, there's one other thing, and this is really critically important. What is happening behind the scenes here is a real shift in the U.S. national defense strategy. It's not a secret. It's been declared to Congress, but nobody seems to pay much attention to it. And the shift is this, to move away from the war on terror, or the war against terrorist groups, and to move back into a more traditional defensive posture against major nation states, such as Russia, China, and Iran. Now, you can argue that as we pull out of the Middle East, if we pull some of our troops out of Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, etc., we make room for Iran, China, and Russia. That's very true. That is definitely very true. But let them go fight those battles and see how they feel 20 years from now after they've lost 5,000 soldiers and spent $6 trillion.
Let me talk to you about Saudi Arabia just a moment. They have been seemingly moving closer to Israel because of the threat that Iran is to Saudi Arabia. And they've recently asked the question, if Russia cannot curb Iran in Syria, how can Israel do it? That's a viable question.
Well, the Saudis are worried. I think that's what it really amounts to. And they are worried as they see that Russia has stepped back from previous efforts in Syria to curb Iranian aggression against Israel, to curb Iran's presence there, to keep Iran from building new military bases in Syria and constantly bringing in weapons. But I think, you know, the Saudis are worried because they don't want to confront Iran. And they're kind of worried that Israel might give up on the fight. But I don't see the Israelis doing that. The Israelis have just recently reconfirmed an ongoing plan called Operation Momentum to go after Iranian forces in Syria. There's a tacit agreement between Israel and the United States to divide up the enemy. And the United States will deal with the enemy, being Iran, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and Israel will deal with that enemy in Syria. So the Israelis are very, very good at spotting Iranian arms shipments into Syria and taking them out, we're told. And this is a very significant thing. The Iranians can replace those generals with whoever they like, but the Israelis will keep on taking them out. Sooner or later, the Iranians are going to get the picture and stop sending those senior commanders into Syria because the Israelis will take them out.
That's the voice of Ken Timmerman. He's the man, the broadcast partner we bring to the broadcast table on a weekly basis to hear what his input is about these geopolitical activities around the world. And then later on, I will give you a prophetic perspective as to how each of these places that we've mentioned with Ken are a part of that end-time prophetic scenario. Ken, great report. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you again next week.
Jimmy, always a pleasure to be with you. God bless.
We're going to take a break when we come back. It's a Middle East News Update with David Dolan. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.